happens to be the hardest one. Once you got past that, you could pass the extra, except for that 20 words a minute. And that's where the men and the boys separated. That was tough. I worked for months to get up to that, and I didn't know if I'd pass it then. But I just love CW, and you can be on that one. Sideman, it's just not going at all. Heck, when the propagation's there, you can be on a CB radio and talk all over the world on sideband, you know, or even AM. But yeah, I found that advanced class to be tough. And then the extra had a lot of satellite stuff in it back then, Jerry, that I never cared about or didn't want to use. It just didn't interest me at the time, and I know you love it, but so you'd have passed that standing on your head, I'm sure. You know, your up and down frequencies and all of that stuff. But yeah, in the old days where you had to draw out a Colpitts oscillator or a Hartley or all of the different ones, and or look at them and tell what they were and all of that stuff, I just wasn't that good of an electronic technician, I don't think. It was pretty difficult when you got into the AC portion of it. And I could get by it, but I wasn't, say, like Gary, KFRDOS. I know the school he passed in the Navy. I wouldn't have got past it, I don't think. No, we had a lot of electronics in our course to be an aviation electrician's mate, but nothing like, we had like 6 to 7 months of instruction, and they had, their first school was 54 weeks. So it was a rough booger. But, I'm glad I got it. I swore I'd never use CW again, and now that's about all I use.
Struggling with advance, and yeah, like I said, I was real lucky. I had a guy that was my elder that was a good electronics guy and knew all the stuff and helped me along with it. Coach, man, you know, we worked together for years, and he just asked me, he said, have you ever been into AM radio? I said, yeah, I have been. I'd bought a ARRL set of tapes about the year before he and I started working together, back in 76, I think. 75, and said, yeah, and he said, well, he'd been a ham for years. He had a WN call in there. He had to upgrade then, I think, within a year. Tom, I don't remember if that's correct. He got past the point where he could get like a W4 call. He went up with a WB call, but he had time passing. He is a theory, but he had that code just beat him like, I mean, I worked with him. He worked with me on the electronics part of it. I worked with him on the code, and I got him up to speed on the code, and he got me up to speed on the electronics. But he's just one of those guys that Jack Code just out of time with it, but he finally got that. He'd been a technician for years. He finally got that 13 words per minute and got it general. He was just tickled as he could be then.
Yeah. Well, 13 was hard to get to. It took time. It takes elbow grease. There's no question about it. I went ahead and got the commercial license after that just for the heck of it. I thought, well, if I get out of a job someday, it'd be good to have. And but one of the ones that really made you think in theory was what they call a GMDSS, Global Maritime Distress System. And you had to pass that before you took the commercial license. And the commercial license was a question pool of, it was over 900. Now it's over 1,100 questions. And, but the other one, you know, I can't remember exactly how the questions went, but if you had a commercial ship and it had so many passengers on it and it was 200 miles off the coast and you had this many batteries and a certain wattage transmitter and you know, how many watts could you legally transmit, and for how long would those batteries go before they were depleted, and yada, 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 things like that. It really made you think, Jerry. Now they use satellite. They don't use that anymore, I don't think. Which it was satellite, but it was a tough 20 questions, let me tell you.
I took my technician exam, the question of technician. I had to go to Atlanta. You had to go to the FCC office in order to take the test. They weren't doing volunteer examiners. I mean, the only volunteer type stuff was you had to have somebody, I think, an extra class, either advanced or extra class, advanced or above or extra class, give you a novice test in code. You had to send and receive. But then anything else, they didn't have volunteer examiners back then, so I had to drive over to Atlanta to take the questions. And when I went in there, I said, that was about 200 mile drive from me, maybe more than that, from Rock Hill to the FCC in Atlanta. When I left that place, I knew I'd passed it. I knew everything. Nothing didn't ring a bell with me. And so I passed it, got my ticket, and I was just tickled to death with that. And that's when I changed. I originally had a 2x3 call, and I changed it to the 1x3 I got now, because you could do that then with a technician class. And when you had an extra, had an advanced, you get a 2x2, and extras could get 1x2s or 2x2s or, and 1x2, 2x1s, and that sort of stuff, if it was available in the call area. But you couldn't, then you could not go outside your call area, so you couldn't shop a call somewhere like a 5 or 6 area call to get the letters, call that you wanted.
It's funny you mentioned calls. One night I had a radio beside the bed back up there in Kansas, a 2-meter one, and I talked to my buddies on it sometimes late, and it had 444.8 on it. And I was talking to him one night, I put my call out, and nobody come back. And about that time, a call come in, and all he said was, "Hey, you got my call." And, when you get a vanity call, you're supposed to put down 25 choices. I don't know how it is now. And anyways, I wrote down some choices, and the N0TR is my initials, for Tom Rouse. And I had a friend, K0PR, and N5SD was Steve Draper, and the other one was Phil Rankin. And the chances of getting that was slim and none. And I got it. I couldn't imagine it. Well, there was some tropospheric ducting that night. It was about 10:30 at night, and getting ready to go to bed. And he was in over at the Rolla School of Mines in Rolla, Missouri. And he was a technician, I think, or a general. Anyways, he wanted that call. Well, I guess he had to be an extra, or he wouldn't have even had a chance of getting it. But I was real lucky to get that one. But that was, I don't know how far over there that was. 250 miles probably, Jerry, on FM.
It happened a time or two over the years, too, on Simplex. Just somebody just pop up out of the blue while I was monitoring 14652. But the call thing is pretty interesting. The guy that was a neighbor of my wife's late parents was a pastor, and he had been a ham a long time, and he had a W4 call, and he let his license expire, and he said, "I let my license expire. Any chance of me getting my call back? Because I guarantee you, if it's a W4 call, I guarantee you somebody's got it." And sure enough, somebody got it. But then he was able to go back and get his original novice call, which was a WN4 call. And I keep an eye out for calls. But yeah, the one that's got my initials in, people fight for that one. I think I'd like to have that one too. I can get my old 2x3 call back and change it to a W4, but I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, if I change calls after having this one for 43 years, I don't think I'd be able to remember the daggum thing.
you're right, Jerry. Getting that license reminds me of when I got my universal technician license. I never was a good refrigeration man, but this was an HVAC license, and there was three tests, as I remember it. And I had to go up to Johnstown. It was a refrigeration place up in Kansas City, which was about 125 miles. And I didn't know those guys from Adam. And I was nervous about it anyways, because you had to know all these different gases and blends, and then you had to know the electrical and all of that stuff. And they was laying guys off at this plant I worked at, and they said, Tom, you've been recommended to be the head HVAC guy here because the other guy's leaving. And he said he recommended you. I said, well, I just have a 5-ton license. And they said, well, no, that won't do. And they said, we need you to get this pretty quick. And I said, well, it takes 2 years of OTEC. I said, if you'll give me 2 months, I'll get it. And they said, yeah, we'll give you 2 months. And about 6 weeks later, I went up there and took it. But I got to tell you, it was mostly memorization, I think. I'd had a year of HVAC, so that helped out at the college. And I just went out there to take some courses so I'd be able to work on the refrigerated bearings and the air dryers and stuff like that at our plant. And but I didn't ever go out swapping compressors and things like that, which I'd been taught, but I just didn't do that. I'd call a refrigeration man, but I got the license and I got the job anyways, Jerry.
That's all that matters anyway, Tom. But I remember back when I got my license, well, probably about the first year, we had a big influx of people in, joined the club and wanted to get the license and test and all that sort of thing. And we had a lot of influx. You know, a lot of guys were influx from CB stuff, and a lot of them were people. And, of course, as they got weeded out in a hurry, we had a lot of people wanted to get in there because they wanted to use auto patch on our repeater. We had a real good repeater site. We had a solid auto patch. And a lot of them got dropped by the wayside when they found out, well, you can't use this for business now. You can't be calling up people making out calls. And this has been in the days before cell phones. And so a lot of them dropped out. But I remember we had one guy in particular. I don't know what they did with him. They finally got him for something, though, but he was notorious about doing business, calling in outside. You know, you weren't supposed to call outside the call area for the phone. You know, he was notorious about getting outside the call area and calling in, calling his wife or somebody, and also having some business stuff. He kind of used code and stuff. He was using words and stuff. It didn't take a genius to figure out he was doing business over the auto patch. And I think they finally revoked his license, but he did that for months before somebody finally caught on to him and figured out what he was doing. But that was just, we had several people like that in the club. That's what they had in mind when they got there, when they could get their technician license, was getting on 2 meters and being able to use that auto patch.
Yeah, I've seen that done back there. I've seen it done right here. And they say they're not doing business, but they were. But they weren't using the auto patch. Well, it says 90 degrees and heat index of 102. But, yeah, it's a good hobby, but you're not supposed to use it for business. But they'd find ways to get around. We had a good auto patch back in Kansas. It was up 880 feet on the KOM TV tower. And ironically, I think it was Bickford, the weatherman here on, I can't remember if he's on 4 or 7. I get them mixed up. One of those guys, Bernice will have to tell you which one it was. He started out his career back there at Channel 7 in Pittsburgh, Kansas, many, many years ago. I remember him on there. And I thought that was unusual to come down here and see the same weatherman on the TV set, Jerry. Jerry, I better let you go. I'm getting stoved up sitting here, and I need to shut this computer off. It's done scanning. Did a full scan. Finished cleaning out my drawer. And then on channel, 31.5, the Heroes channel over the air is Bye-Bye Black Sheep is on. And then Tour of Duty, and then Combat. And that's my normal Saturday night thing. And I haven't even been to the rain locker yet. I got to do that, too. Jerry, it's been a pleasure. You take care. Come up and see us sometime. N4DJC, N0TR. Good night, Jerry.
Enjoyed it as usual. Well, we got some rain here today. That's good. Maybe we'll get a little more. But take it easy. Good talking to you as usual. And I'm going to go downstairs and see what's going on myself. N0TR, N4DJC, clear.